Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Hackers are after your business data. I can help. I am Vi, the virtual intelligence assistant at Virtual Armor.
Virtual Armor, partnered with Juniper Networks, provides cybersecurity services and end-to-end solutions to keep what's yours, yours. Defend yourself with managed firewall and managed SIM essential core services that are economical and efficient. Virtual Armor goes beyond just initial alerting to provide a thorough report on threats, vulnerabilities, and results.
Let me help protect you. Contact me at justaskvi. That's vi.com.
You're in the clubhouse with Jack Daniels Football Friday.
It is a Jack Daniels Football Friday here in the clubhouse on Sports Radio FNZ. Drink responsibly. It is Friday. Drink often. If you want to, just get a DD, stay home, have some fun, but do it responsibly. Good to be back. We wrap up the week in the biggest way we know how here in the clubhouse. And coming up in about 30 minutes, we will chat with the most recent ACC Rookie of the Year and National Rookie of the Year, Vernon Carey Jr. out of Duke. The Charlotte Hornets' 32nd overall pick two nights ago in the NBA draft. Vernon Carey coming up in 30 minutes. And on top of that, typically, and I think this is, you know, the way for a lot of people, but I know for myself, I'm kind of a type A personality. I like being organized. I like to know when things are happening. I want to know times and dates and facts because it helps me, well, stay organized, but to keep my sanity. However, we are going to have to be a little bit flexible today for a couple of reasons. You know, Mac talked about it there toward the end of the show. We will have live for you during the 12 o'clock hour, the LaMelo Ball press conference, as Mac and Bone were discussing there before they got off the air. We will have that for you. But the larger part of the uncertainty, if you will, this morning is that sometime between right now and 11:30 this morning, so sometime in the next 90 minutes, we will be getting a call from the head coach of the Kentucky Wildcats, three-time National Coach of the Year, Basketball Hall of Famer, John Calipari, will join me at some point in the next 90 minutes. Got word from Coach last night that he is both willing and eager to come on this morning and talk about Nick Richards, who the Hornets acquired from the New Orleans Pelicans two nights ago in the draft, and did so, by the way, in exchange for a 2024 second-round draft pick. And as I say that, our phone lines are lighting up right now. That may very well be him. I'll find out momentarily. But Coach Calipari was willing and eager to jump on this morning to talk about his guys as that 21-year streak or 21 lottery picks streak was kind of snapped two nights ago, but still three Wildcats hearing their names called in the draft two nights ago. And so if this is, in fact, Coach, well, that's a heck of a way to start the morning. And I think, judging by what Smoke is saying in the background there, that it very much is. So this is a great way to start the show. Vernon Carey in 30 minutes. And looks like we got him as Smoke puts him on the air. We got a big one for you here on a Friday, but there's no bigger way to start a Friday morning show than by welcoming in the head coach of the Kentucky Wildcats, three-time National Coach of the Year, and a Basketball Hall of Famer inducted back in 2015. He has not one, not two, but three former players on this Hornets roster. Most recently, Nick Richards acquired two nights ago, and John Calipari with us on the Technicom hotline. Coach, it's good to have you. I really appreciate you making some time for us. How are you?
Thanks. I appreciate it.
So I could feel your energy, your enthusiasm the other night in talking about Nick Richards and, you know, the growth that he experienced in your program the last couple of years. And the Hornets made the deal. Mitch Kupchak dealt a second rounder to acquire Nick Richards. And Mitch Kupchak joined me yesterday. And I think, you know, Mitch, he's not a very hyperbolic guy, but said this kid is ridiculously athletic. So, Coach, the floor is yours. What kind of player have the Charlotte Hornets gotten here in Nick Richards?
Well, first of all, you have a big guy. Big guys develop later. They just do. Nick has come so fast in a small period of time. It's amazing to me. And he was here 3 years. And someone would say, well, that's a long time to be here. Well, Emmanuel quickly was here too. PJ was too. We've had 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year guys here that have gone on to make it. So it doesn't matter that. It's all right, what happened to him? while he was here, one, he has become one of the best shooting big men you'll see. They talk about his athleticism. In pick and roll, he will be a great rim runner. In other words, you can throw it above the square and he's going to get it. The second thing is he can really shoot. The NBA game has gone to lane touches. And the only way you get lane touches if you have spacing on the court. And the only way you can have spacing on the court if people can make shots. He can make shots. Now you have a seven-footer who can make jump shots too. How many back-to-the-basket plays did you see in the bubble where a guy was throwing the ball on a block?
Not many.
No. So he can do that. He has a terrific jump hook. The game's not there anymore. The game is more lane touches, spacing, principled randomness. That's how the game is. That's how it's being played. He fits all that. I'll just give you one quick story. He didn't start playing basketball until he was 14. Came from Jamaica and all the things that you've heard. So his first year, he was good, but he struggled some, and he was on some good teams and against physical guys that he was growing physically into. But his last meeting where he came in, he looks and he says, "You believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. Coach, I love you for that." Wow. Now think about that when you're a coach. Think about that. That's the kind of person you have. And let me say this. All these draft picks, they're futures bets. That's what they are. They're not there now. You're betting where they're going to be in 4 to 5 years. You got PJ. People saw the signs, and then they're watching, and they're seeing the growth. Well, that's why they looked at him when they saw, and they called me and said, "Where do you think he's going?" And I told them, you look at even Nick, you say, "Where could he be in 4 years? Where's the league going to be in 4 years? How are they going to be playing?" You know, you know, I just think they got a guy at that pick, which was like, I thought he was going to go 28, 29 to 32, 34, and stuff happens. Teams traded. Teams that I thought were going to take him traded their pick. I hit Buzz during the draft, and I said, "I think he's going to fall on your lap." The two teams I did. I texted him. He didn't text me back, but I texted him, and I said that to him.
Well, they were aggressive in going to get him, John. And we got John Calipari, head coach of the Kentucky Wildcats, with us on the Technicom hotline. Coach, talk some more about PJ, if you would, because, you know, yesterday I had Matt Daugherty in studio, and it was about a year ago that I was with Coach Daugherty and Muggsy Bogues and a few others. But those two last year were the only two in my ear saying, "Kyle, I think PJ Washington's the right pick for the Hornets, you know, last year in the draft." And I liked PJ, and I watched what you did with him and the development, and the injury happened, and that was unfortunate. And then he gets here, and you start to see early on that he fits. He's an understated kid. He's all about the work, and he goes out on opening night against the Bulls, and I think scored 27 points, a huge debut. He ends up All-NBA rookie second team. Just a great rookie campaign for him. What did you see in his rookie year that I guess, further encouraged you about his pro potential, but also maybe anything that surprised you in year one?
Well, here's the one thing. You know, people say, what is it with your guys that go in the league? And you're seeing Bam and you're seeing Tyler Hero, guys that were, you know, what is it? Well, they learn to fight and they learn to compete, and nothing is given. It's all earned here. You're not promised this and, well, you two are going to shoot all the balls. Well, then that guy goes to your team and he expects to shoot all the balls. I mean, this kid goes, improved his shooting, was way more consistent, understood. Like here, like right now, I'm looking out into our gym, and we have three guys doing a morning workout. We practice later. This is real here. I can't do the work for you. This is a stage. This is about developing professional habits. That's what PJ did here. Then the other side of it is, you take on the role this team needs for you to win. This team, Kentucky. Now, that doesn't mean you can't be a volume shooter in the NBA, but to be a volume shooter here, it means no one else gets to shoot. Well, we get six guys trying to be drafted. six guys on last year's team. Three were drafted, and two signed two ways, and one signed Exhibit 10. So they were all signed by NBA teams. Everybody's trying to eat. It doesn't mean you can't be a volume shooter in the NBA. I think we have about 10 or 12 volume shooters in the NBA, which is out of 30 is a pretty big number. But they weren't volume shooters here. And PJ learned, I'm going to fight. How do I play to win when I'm not going good offensively? You'll see him come up with balls. He's a physical man, which means he was ready to walk in the NBA and do what he did because he was physically and mentally ready to go. But I'm proud of him. He came in, his father, and he came in about 3 weeks ago. I got to see him. He looks great. He's excited. He wants to win. It's one of the things he said, Coach, I just want to win. I mean, for the fans down in Charlotte to know that you got a guy on the team that, yeah, he played well. Yeah, he was second-team all-rookie, and that's a big deal. At his age, he's one of the younger guys. But he wants to win. He wants, let's get this team together and let's win.
He plays like it. We got John Calipari, head coach of the Kentucky Wildcats, with us on the Technicom hotline. Coach, a couple quick things. I'll let you get back to your workday here. I've heard you talk about this in the past. Lots of people, whether it's sports or business, say this. You know, progress isn't always linear. And I think that's a phrase that applies to Malik Monk especially. Mitch Kupchak, in the conversations I've had with him, has continued to insist to me and to others that Malik, you know, is still the most talented player on their roster. And for the final 15 games leading up to that unfortunate suspension, he finally looked like it clicked and he was starting to play like it. What's the ceiling now for Malik Monk? What do you expect from him going into another season?
Let me just say, his spirit is unbelievable. He's the one guy I had here that I could tell you that the game was easy for him. Even practice was easy for him. And I think, again, I wish I would have done more to make it harder for him, which I've done with most of the guys. But he was so talented. I can't begin to tell you. He had 47 in a nationally televised game where I was saying no, and he shot it. I said yes. And he's one of those guys that, you know, sometimes you got to have some down time to bounce through stuff. And for him, I think, again, maybe he thought this was all going to be easy and I wouldn't have to have the greatest habits off the court and I could do this, that, and the other and still be professional. Well, you can't. And aren't you happy he learned it at a young age? Mm-hmm. And now, you know, I got to give it to Mitch. Mitch knows basketball. Mitch knows talent. And Mitch looks at him and says, look, Malik is the most talented. He got to get his stuff together. And you know what? I watch players when I evaluate. I want to know when everything's going wrong, how do they play and how do they act then? Who do they become? Because going through that really makes you that hardened player you have to be to win. And again, I think he's a guy that – scoring in bursts, can defend because of his quickness and his, you know, he just reacts naturally to stuff. But I'll say it again. He's the one of the few players here where everything was pretty easy for him. Because even as hard as I make it, it wasn't for him. And so now it's gotten hard. And you know what? I think what you're going to do is he's another one. He's the one that's, you know, he could be that guy, that comeback guy. That could be him.
You know, you've got, I want to underscore this because it speaks to the string of success that you've had in developing players. And I know you had three guys drafted the other night, Tyrese Maxey, Emmanuel Quickley, and of course, Nick Richards, but you had 12 straight drafts with at least a lottery pick come to an end the other night. And I've heard some people talk about, and maybe some of those three guys, and say they could have gotten more out of another year at Kentucky. And there's no doubt that's true because I know you develop guys, but you also have a loaded roster, and I'm not sure that there would have been room for everybody. You got Olivier Saar transferring in from Wake Forest, something that we know a bit about here in North Carolina. Just how loaded are you this season? Your roster looks impressive.
Yeah, we're really we got 10 new players. Could you imagine? It's like I'm a G League coach. We got 10 new players. Like, here they come. We have a month. Let's go, and let's win a national title, 10 new guys. That's what I have. But, you know, I'm having a ball. I'm having a ball with it because everything here at Kentucky is in pencil because I have to adjust. I've already thrown out two offenses that I didn't like for this team, an early offense that I didn't like for this team. I'm still trying to figure out how do we really guard. We could have a team that's 6'7", 6'7", 6'9", 6'11", 7 foot Olivier Saar. That could be our team. Well, why wouldn't you switch everything?
Yep.
Why would you, you know, how about you play some zone, which I don't play much, but how about you play some zone? How the hell do you score over that team? And so it becomes, you know, every year it's the same kind of stuff. How do we do this? And let me say this about this year's draft. First of all, I think we had a real chance to win the national title because of how we were playing at the end. If we would have played and done our normal Elite Eight Final Four thing, then Tyrese would have been a lottery pick. Emmanuel would have been where he is or earlier, okay? Nick would have been what I said, 27, 28, 29. Ashton would have been middle, early second round somewhere, maybe first round, maybe he busted through. All right, now you have Nate and EJ, so things would have been different. Let me say this to everybody. If you watched the draft, none of you saw Nick break down and cry. Nick's not that kind of emotional guy. I did a FaceTime with him. He couldn't speak to me. He said, Coach, can I call you back?
That's awesome.
So here's my point of it. Why I never in all the drafts that I've been to saw that much raw emotion that was pent up in all these players. It was 8 months that they waited to be drafted. 8 months. Now I'm worried about my team here in this COVID that we're all trying to say, like, we've got a sports psychologist that they can deal with, one on campus, one outside of campus. But there are stuff that these players are dealing with. How they all went to the bubble and did what they did, I have no idea. None. How they stayed away from families, how they focused on it. And it was the best NBA basketball I've seen ever. And then they told me that's because they didn't have to travel. Okay. But it was unbelievable to watch it. So I would tell everybody, your own child, if you're listening, this stuff is not normal, and it's hard for these young people who don't have developed minds yet to deal with it. And I would tell every NBA team that just drafted young guys that were crying like babies on the TV, make sure that when they come with you, you understand they're 19 years old and they just gone through a pandemic. Make sure mental health is a part of what you're dealing with, not just making them shoot it better. Because this stuff it's out there now.
Oh, it is, no doubt. John, there are so many more questions I could ask you, but I appreciate you doing this. And folks out there don't know, but you agreed to do this on short notice and take some time out of your day. So, Coach, I appreciate it. Best of luck, thanks, and hopefully we can talk again soon.
Bye-bye.
There you go. John Calipari, head coach, Kentucky Wildcats, three-time National Coach of the Year and a Basketball Hall of Famer. I believe just one of six active coaches in all of college basketball currently enshrined in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. John Calipari joining me this morning to start the show to give some thoughts on Nick Richards, a brand-new Charlotte Hornets, and, of course, some thoughts on P.J. Washington and Malik Monk and the absolute loaded roster that he has at Kentucky this year. Now, Tyrese Maxey went 21st overall to Philadelphia. Emmanuel quickly went 25 to the Knicks. And, of course, Nick Richards 42nd to the Pelicans, but then dealt to the Hornets. Three guys drafted, but the first time in a dozen years that Coach Cal didn't have a lottery pick. It speaks to the kind of talent that he's both coached and developed over the years, and we appreciate his time. We'll come back and react to that. I'm getting some Building Center texts about it already. Coach Cal's great. And yeah, I mean, we had a mutual friend. We have a mutual friend who set this up for us last night, and John was eager to come on and talk this morning, and I really appreciate it. We'll come back, we'll react to that, and some audio that you absolutely have to hear about what the Hornets almost did on draft night. We'll play it next here in the Clubhouse on Sports Radio FNZ.
Here in the Clubhouse with Jack Daniels Football Friday. Live here.
Right up the middle, extra effort.
We are Charlotte.
Sports Radio FNZ. You're in the clubhouse with Jack Daniels Football Friday.
Well, that's a heck of a way to start the show, huh? John Calipari, head coach of the Kentucky Wildcats, three-time National Coach of the Year, a national champ, and Basketball Hall of Famer, calling in on the top, right off the top of the show right there. Spent about 15 minutes with Coach Cal talking about Nick Richards, the big man, three-year big man at Kentucky, drafted by the Pelicans, then traded to the Hornets just two nights ago, and add him to the roster. 6'11", Mitch Kupchak joined the show yesterday and called him ridiculously athletic, and I think most Hornets fans at this point know that, well, there's not much hyperbolic about Mitch Kupchak. So if he says that, well, that's absolutely what he believes, and there's probably a lot of merit to it. But big thanks to Coach Calipari for making some time this morning. I said there at the end of the segment, that's one of those things where I've talked to a lot of people in this business, interviewed a lot of great coaches and players, but that was my first opportunity to have a conversation with Coach Cal, and we had a mutual friend that set it up last night. And you know, there's one thing about John Calipari that we all know by now is pretty well established. He is a champion of his guys. And he, I think, was kind of on the forefront of being an outspoken college basketball coach whose philosophy very openly was, he tells his guys, if you've got a first-round grade, if you've got a lottery grade, go. Get out of here. Go make your money. You know, go do us proud. Go represent Kentucky well at the next level, but get out of here. And he has made that an emphasis. And look, it's, I know for the more cynical folks out there who maybe don't love Kentucky basketball, well, it's easy to say when you get all that talent. I know. I get it. He's in a different spot than a lot of coaches are. But that has been his philosophy. You know, just like Dabo Swinney and others that we talk about, his players rave about him. His players love him. And the Building Center text line right now lighting up with some responses to that conversation. And by the way, that's not the only conversation we have here to start the show. Coming up here in about 3 or 4 minutes, we're expected to be joined by the Hornets' 32nd overall pick, their first second-round selection from two nights ago. ACC Rookie of the Year, Vernon Carey Jr., scheduled to join us here in about 2 or 3 minutes. But the text came in right away, and we had texters saying, how can you not like Coach Cal? He gets it. That's from AC. Others saying, great interview. My respect for John Calipari just grew like the Grinch's heart. Somebody else saying I may have a new second favorite team in Kentucky. And then multiple texters writing in saying they loved his breakdown on Malik Monk. One texter saying we can't give up on this kid. I don't think there's any intention of giving up on Malik Monk. What I mean by that is they've stuck with him the last 2 years, especially as, you know, his progress, again, wasn't always linear. It's been a roller coaster ride, ebbs and flows. And, you know, he'll go from a 25-point outburst and impacting a game to disappearing for a couple in a row. You know, and the encouraging thing, again, is that Malik was playing really well in the final 12 to 15 games leading into that suspension for violating the league's substance abuse policy. But he's since been fully reinstated. And barring a trade at this point, which I wouldn't expect Malik Monk to be involved in, short of, you know, a last-minute blindsided Russell Westbrook type of deal, they'll be leaning on Malik Monk a good deal this coming season. And Rick Bonnell of the Charlotte Observer, who covers the Hornets for the Observer, was listening in and highlighted something that Coach said about Malik Monk when he said, quote, I wish I'd made it harder for him, end quote, when he was at Kentucky. And that was something I guess he was lamenting on a bit, but still saying, I got to give it to Mitch. You know, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's talking about. He knows basketball talent. And so a great bit of insight right there from John Calipari. Smoke, what did you take away from that conversation with Coach Cal?
It just, you could tell how much he loves his players. That's one thing I could definitely tell, and you could tell why he continues to get so many recruits that are high level, because they trust Calipari, to Coach Cal, to not only get them to the NBA, but to make sure that their time in Kentucky isn't a complete waste.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that he pumps out talent. And going back to Nick Richards, who we'll circle back to, because I believe this is Vernon Carey Jr. calling in right now. I mean, Nick Richards, again, as Coach pointed out, Mitch Kupchak emphasized this yesterday, didn't start playing basketball until he was 14, 15 years old. From Jamaica, ridiculously athletic, and is still really young. And they look at him as someone who can, very much in the same way as a 19-year-old LaMelo or a 19-year-old Vernon Carey Jr., can be molded and developed and turned into something even more special, you know, than he was at Kentucky as a first team All-SEC performer this past season. So when you look at the totality of this Hornets draft class and what they've done, you know, even if you were, you know, a little bit disappointed by, even, or upset, I guess, as some are, about the pick of LaMelo Ball third overall, which I can't quite fully comprehend, What they did after that, I believe, in continuing to bring in 6'10 Vernon Carey, 6'11 Nick Richards, a couple of athletic guys. Carey's lost 33 pounds as a way to, you know, get himself in the right shape to play at the NBA level, given the way the game has changed. I think Mitch Kupchak did some really smart things two nights ago. And then you factor in Grant Riller, 56th overall out of the College of Charleston, a guy who can straight up shoot the basketball. You know, can he be developed into that knockdown shooter, maybe off the bench, that we know at this point definitively every team in the NBA needs? And especially teams that are playing small ball, you know, and playing a newer, modern type of game in the National Basketball Association. So, by the way, I told you we had some audio that I want you to hear. That's probably going to have to wait for about 10, 15 minutes as we get set to talk to Vernon Carey Jr., but I'll give you a little bit of a hint here. Zach Lowe and Jonathan Givony of ESPN were on the Zach Lowe podcast last night or yesterday after the draft, and made mention of the Hornets being aggressive two nights ago in the first round, trying to make a deal, and a deal that fell through at the last minute. You'll hear that coming up in 15 minutes. We'll talk all about it. But right now, we head right back out to the Technicom hotline, and we welcome in the ACC Rookie of the Year. He averaged nearly 18-9 for Coach K at Duke last year. He's a Miami, Florida native and a brand-new Charlotte Hornet, Vernon Carey Jr., with us on the Technicom hotline. Vernon, I appreciate your time, buddy. Congratulations. How are you?
I'm doing good, Kyle. How are you?
I'm doing well. I got to be honest, man. I love the draft. I'm a 35-year-old grown man, but I still get as excited about the NBA draft as I did when I was a kid. And it's in large part because I get to see guys like you live their dream on national television, you know, for everybody to watch and see the emotion and think. What was that feeling two nights ago when you got that call and the Hornets said, we're taking you 32nd overall?
Just crazy, man. I mean, it was a dream, my lifelong dream, just growing up, and just to be close to Duke. I mean, that's something special too. So I could just always come back to Duke. So I mean, it's just special. It's a special night.
Makes sense. I mean, I know you're a Miami native, but this is, I guess, home now for you. You got a lot of people here in the state of North Carolina that love you, love your game, have enjoyed watching you at Duke especially. Talk to me about the weight loss and what you've done to change your body this offseason. I looked at my guy across the room here last week, and I said, man, look at Vernon. Look at the way he's changed his body. This guy's serious about adapting his body and his physicality to the NBA level. What started that, and what's the ultimate goal of losing 33 pounds and trimming down for the next level?
Yeah, I mean, after the season ended because of COVID, the Duke season, me and my parents hired a chef, and I feel like that played like a huge role in helping me lose those 30 pounds. And I mean, just working those 6 months that we had off until the draft. So I mean, that was a whole process, really.
Is this because you have a pretty polished offensive skill set right now? I know you don't. I'm sure you don't think that you're a finished product, but you have a really polished offensive skill set. Was that, you know, trimming down about the ability to get out in transition and to switch on pick and rolls and be a bit more nimble defensively? Was that part of the focus too?
Yeah, definitely. Just with me losing these 30 pounds, I feel like it definitely helped me with my mobility. Just being able to go, like you said, move and switching on the guard and then guarding the pick and roll action. And I feel like also my athleticism just got better, just with me feeling lighter and just feeling better.
We're talking to Vernon Carey Jr., 32nd overall pick by the Charlotte Hornets two nights ago in the draft, a product out of Duke. What parts of your game, you know, do you feel like maybe weren't showcased as much as they could be at the NBA level, or, you know, could have been otherwise at Duke? What parts of your game do you think, you know, those of us who have watched you haven't seen much of yet?
Just my versatility, I feel like. Just maybe, yeah, just like with me, for instance, like getting the ball off a rebound, pushing in and finding teammates and being able to stretch the floor off pick and pop situations and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, I feel like that's just some stuff I didn't get to showcase as much as I would have liked to.
What do you expect it's going to be like to play with LaMelo Ball? You know, he comes in with a lot of fanfare and hype and all the things that you and I both know that we don't have to go back over. But you know, LaMelo comes in with a lot of excitement around him. You get to be his teammate. What do you think of his game, and what are you expecting it'll be like?
It's going to be fun. I mean, we're both young guys. I mean, he's played professional over overseas, so he has the experience, I feel like. And I feel like he's just an easy teammate to play along with, just with his IQ and just with all the intangibles that he has. I mean, I feel like it'll just be easy to play off of him.
What did you know about James Borrego and his coaching style before your name was called the other night? What do you think about JB?
Yeah, I mean, just his play style. I feel like it's up and down play style, just with the young group that this organization has. And I mean, I feel like my with the 30 pounds that I lost, I feel like I could definitely fit in.
I love it. Two quick things, I'll let you go. As far as, let me ask you this, John Calipari joined me about 15, 20 minutes ago. Coach Cal jumped on and was talking about one of your new teammates, Nick Richards. The Hornets made a deal to trade for him two nights ago. You know, I was excited when they went, you know, back to back with you and Nick Richards. You're, you know, 6'10 and long and athletic. He's 6'11 and long and also ridiculously athletic. What do you know about Nick? How can you two work together to develop kind of in tandem as a couple of young big men?
Yeah, I mean, just playing like off. I mean, yeah, just playing off of each other. I feel like I know he's been working on his game, just being able to step out and shoot it, just like I am. So I feel like we'll just be able to play off of each other.
So the thing I've always heard about you, Vernon, is that you're a tough kid, but you're also a very cerebral guy. You're very smart. Basketball IQ is high, but you know, off the court as well. Let's take the athlete basketball player away from Vernon Carey, the guy, for a second. Who else is Vernon Carey? What do you like to do off the court? What really lights you up outside of basketball?
Yeah, I mean, just spending time with family and friends. That's the first thing, and the second thing will probably be I like to fish. I have to go like deep sea fishing.
Nice.
On my free time, and also I just like to play video games.
That's the first thing I learned about PJ Washington last year. PJ was giving me the ins and outs of Fortnite, something I know nothing about. Are you a Fortnite guy or a Call of Duty guy? What's your game?
Crazy thing is, I was talking to PJ like two nights ago, like three days ago, before the draft on the game on 2K.
Okay. All right. I think we got a little bit of a glitch there. Vernon, I think we had something drop out there. I know you got a bunch of these to get to, a lot of things. You got a busy day with the Hornets, so I'm going to cut you loose, buddy. I'm thrilled you're here. Love your game. Can't wait to be with you guys in the arena here pretty soon. We'll talk to you soon, brother. Thank you for the time.
Thank you for having me, Kyle.
Anytime. Vernon Carey Jr., big man from Duke, ACC Freshman of the Year this past season under Coach K out there in Durham, and a guy that, you know, I think it's fair to say he's a man of few words, but somebody that I think Hornets fans are going to like. I really do. I think Hornets fans are going to really enjoy watching him play and develop over the next couple of seasons. A little bit of a different start to the show this morning, as you've kind of figured out by now. In the first 35 minutes here, we've talked to both John Calipari and to Vernon Carey Jr., so we got some unpacking to do. Some reacting to do. But a part of that, when we come back, as promised, we will hear, you will hear, what Zach Lowe and Jonathan Givony, a couple of tied-in NBA experts, NBA insiders, and draft experts, said yesterday on the Zach Lowe podcast about what the Hornets almost did two nights ago in the first round. You're in the clubhouse on Sports Radio FNZ.
You're in the clubhouse with Jack Daniels Football Friday. Sports Radio FNZ.
The ACC plays here.
And it's a touchdown, Georgia Tech.
We are Charlotte.
Sports Radio FNZ.
He did lose over 30 pounds, you know, and I thought he played heavy last year. I did see him play several times. I saw him practice, and he's got great hands. You know, he can make shots. You know, he can shoot threes. He has a great feel for the game. He's not, you know, learning, you know, the instincts of the game. He's got really good instincts. And the fact that he lost 30 pounds, he's a different player. So in the second round, you know, close to the first round, right, number 32, a young, developing big, you know, who we feel, you know, we're lucky to have on our roster.
You're in the clubhouse with Jack Daniels Football Friday.
It is a Jack Daniels Football Friday, though we are talking still a lot of basketball this morning. Plenty of football to get to. We've got a lot of audio from Matt Rhule and Phil Snow And Matt Patricia, head coach of the Detroit Lions, they're coming to town on Sunday to face the Panthers. You can hear pregame coverage with Mac and Nick Carboni and Brett Jensen. Countdown to kickoff right here on Sports Radio FNZ. Then stick around for all the postgame coverage with Mac and Nick Wilson after what we hope is a win for Carolina. I think we're hoping it's a win. I know I am. Sunday after the game, Mac and Nick Wilson, postgame coverage right here on Sports Radio FNZ. Again, we get to the football here shortly. If you miss John Calipari, we're going to replay him a bit later in the show because that was a good conversation with him to start things off this morning. But we heard from Vernon Carey Jr. in the previous segment. That was Mitch Kupchak, Hornets GM, discussing Vernon Carey yesterday here in the clubhouse with myself and Coach Matt Daugherty and Evan Smoke Ludwig. But I told you also there was something I wanted you to hear. Jonathan Givony, ESPN NBA Draft Insider and the Draft Express, joined Zach Lowe on Zach Lowe's podcast. Zach Lowe is an NBA insider for ESPN as well. And they talked a lot about the draft, but also the Charlotte Hornets. Now, first, here's Jonathan Givony saying the Hornets knew early on Wednesday night what their pick would come down to.
Charlotte decided very early on this is a three-player draft, and we're sitting at three. We're going to take whichever guy from the three is there. They informed other guys, you know, who were in consideration, sorry, but we're going to move in a different direction. I mean, that's the kind of classy guy that Mitch Kupchak is. He's not going to leave you hanging in the wind, you know, until, you know, and sweating until the very last second. He's going to say, this is what I'm going to end up doing, you know, which is very different than how a lot of the NBA these days operates, for better or worse.
There you go. Jonathan Givony on the Zach Lowe podcast saying right there, Charlotte knew this was going to be a three-player draft for them in the first round. And we kind of knew that too going into Wednesday night. Here's more from Jonathan Givony on LaMelo Ball and whether or not he was in fact happy to end up the third overall pick and specifically coming to play in Charlotte.
He preferred to go to Charlotte over Minnesota. I mean, that's a fact. I think he would have, you know, slightly would have rather been going state right now. But he's very, very happy to end up in Charlotte. He's going to have the keys to the franchise right away. They're going to be globally relevant. They're going to be on TV nationally, I would think, you know, fairly often. And it's going to be fun. You know, like there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be some turnovers and bad shots and blown defensive assignments, but there's going to be a lot of magic too, because this kid is special. I mean, he has it.
That's again Jonathan Givony on LaMelo Ball saying he was happy to come to Charlotte. And who, look, I know we got into this yesterday. Charlotte's a small market. No, it's a mid market. No, it's a small market. No, it's bigger than San Francisco. It's this, it's that. It is a much bigger market than obviously it used to be, a much bigger market than still some people in the national media realize and recognize. That doesn't mean it's New York, LA, Chicago, but it does mean that it's a growing, emerging market with a lot of things happening here. All due respect to Minneapolis. I love that city for about 4 months out of the year. It's a great city to visit. It's a beautiful place, friendly people. Love that spot. But if you're like me and probably like LaMelo, who grew up in the Chino Hills in Southern California, you probably want nothing to do with, you know, Minneapolis winters. That's not surprising. What is interesting about Minnesota and the Timberwolves, to hear Zach Lowe tell it on that very same podcast, the Hornets were very interested in trading up with Minnesota for the first overall pick, but it sounded like the price was just too high.
There were all these rumblings, and I think they were fair that, you know, is Charlotte going to trade up to get James Wiseman? Charlotte has a hole at center, hole at center, hole at center. And they handled their business perfectly. They had talks with Minnesota about trading up. Minnesota wanted a ton, like core young player, a couple of picks, whatever it was. And Charlotte was like, you know what? We're not going to just give up everything to fill a positional need, particularly if it looks like LaMelo Ball is going to fall to us.
There you go. So that was Zach Lowe's take on what the Hornets did two nights ago in basically standing pat and sticking at three, taking the best player available at the third pick. And that's why I emphasized yesterday that they should be, I think, applauded to an extent. And we can disagree on parts of this, but should be applauded for sticking to the plan that they've laid out for the past 12 to 18 months. That was the plan. Right. Don't take too many risks. Don't leverage the future unnecessarily unless it's an absolute certainty. And clearly they didn't feel that James Wiseman was certain enough to give up an unprotected 2022 first round draft pick, you know, or something like that. And it sounds like it could have even cost them more than that if that's what they wanted to go up and do to get James Wiseman. So they stayed with LaMelo and they end up taking a couple of big, long centers. right, in the second round and via trade in Vernon Carey Jr. and Nick Richards, 6'10", 6'11", you know, both athletic. Richards is especially athletic. And then picking up a shooter and a bit of a project in Grant Riller, a guy who's going to spend a lot of time in Greensboro this coming season. Nick Richards probably going to do the same, and I would imagine, you know, barring injuries or just a sudden outburst that wouldn't be expected, so to speak, from Vernon Carey right away, that he'll also be making that trip up and down 85 quite a bit. I think we all expect that at this point. But the Hornets did, I think, the right thing. They stuck to the plan. They took a young man in LaMelo Ball in the first round that, you know, I think you just have to, you got to be Switzerland on this one. I think the best and smartest thing to do is to remain neutral on LaMelo Ball, even if you're inclined to think it was a mistake or you don't like his father or, you know, you think he's going to come in coddled, whatever you think. This young man, LaMelo Ball, 6'7", 6'10", wingspan, elite passing, elite vision, got a great foundation to build on. If he wants to be great, if he wants to be coached, he has the foundational tools to do that and to be great. Now it's incumbent upon him and James Borrego and Mitch Kupchak in that developmental process to turn him into that. They followed the plan, they stuck to it, and good on them for doing that. Again, there's a lot of things I want to say about, you know, football today on this Jack Daniels Football Friday. And we will do that coming up in just a couple of minutes. Speaking of LaMelo Ball, in the noon hour, just about an hour from now, a little over an hour, in that 12 o'clock hour, the exact time we're not quite sure yet, we will carry live a press conference from the Spectrum Center introducing LaMelo Ball. Mack and Bone announced it this morning. That is the plan here in the clubhouse during the 12 o'clock lunch hour. We will be carrying live a LaMelo Ball introductory press conference. Mack has taken off the diaper and he's there to cover it. By the way, I posted a video on Instagram, Kyle Bailey Club on Instagram. It's on my story right now. A full view as I walked in the studio this morning of a grown ass Chris McClain doing live sports talk radio in a grown man's diaper. If you can stomach it, you get the full view on Instagram right now, at Kyle Bailey Club. I would say not suitable for work, but then again, I don't really know what is anymore. We'll come back. The Panthers coaches have been talking a lot the last day or two. Matt Rhule said some interesting things yesterday, and you will hear those next here in the clubhouse on Sports Radio FNZ.
You're in the clubhouse with Jack Daniels Football Friday.